We're continuing to look at the Passover that's rapidly approaching. We're looking at it from a little different example for what Paul said, that the Old Testament, the things that happened therein, should be an example for us. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, what's the last scripture we studied yesterday? Do you have anything else?
Joshua 3:7-10.
What was that? I don't remember. Did you say anything else about it?
Jebusites.
Oh, yeah, the Jebusites. Yeah.
Expectation
of. All right. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now we understand the baptism in the sea, but what's the baptism in the cloud? Let's go to Numbers 9. Numbers 9 is all about the Passover, so let's read it. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. In the 14th day of this, now they had a year earlier, they had the first Passover when the angel of death wiped out all the firstborn of Egypt. And Israel was protected by the blood on the doorposts. So now it's 1 year later, and he's telling him he should keep it again. And his appointed time, our season, according to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof, shall you keep it. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel how that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at evening in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day, and those men said unto him, We are defiled by the dead body of a man, wherefore we are kept back, that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel. And Moses said unto them, Stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command you concerning you. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. The 14th day of the second month at evening they shall keep it, and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, They shall leave none of it unto the morning, nor break any bone of it, according to all the ordinances of the Passover. They shall keep it. But the man that is clean and is not in a journey, and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season. That man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger shall sojourn among you, and will keep the Passover unto the Lord according to the ordinance of the Passover, and according to the manner thereof, so shall he do. You shall have one ordinance for both for the stranger and for him that was born in the land. Now this is unique. It's the only one of the only time, well, it happened again, but it's only for Passover that ordinance of having it the second month is there, because the Passover is the beginning of everything. And if you can't keep the Passover, then you haven't started the journey. Is that understood? But it's unique that they kept it in the second month. We did that.
We did that one time.
Because of Tom, I think. Do you remember?
No.
All right. We'll talk about it. I don't want to embarrass you publicly.
Oh, no, you would never do that.
All right. Anyway, that was important. Now comes what it says. And on the day that the tabernacle reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle. Now, and again, it doesn't, and this is what it says in Hebrew. You all heard me say this before, I think. But it's on the day the tabernacle was reared up, or according, where are we? The tabernacle was reared up. It doesn't give instructions to anybody to rear it up. And so the Talmud is full of stories about how the tabernacle raised itself. And it was at this appointed season the tabernacle raised itself, at the right time, at the right action. So you've heard me talk. I think Harry was the one that said this originally, but he said, they had ordinances to build all the stuff. And Mrs. Moses was looking out and seeing all this stuff on her lawn and kept bugging Mr. Moses, when are you going to do something about that? And Mrs. Moses would say, I don't know how to build it. I don't know what to do with it. He just told me to build the stuff. And finally it reared it up, so Mrs. Moses was happy. Anybody understand that kind of Mrs. Moses stuff?
Hmm.
All right.
It's kind of like the labels up on the shelves for you.
Yeah. Pete, I hadn't thought about that for a while. Why'd you have
it? Great.
All right. On the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until morning. And so, spiritually, the cloud, they were baptized by the cloud, as well as by the sea, which they didn't get wet when they crossed over. So, ceremonially, the baptism was two phases. It was in the cloud and in the sea. Now, in the cloud always represents the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The sea represents the baptism of the flesh, or the water.
It took them 2 years to get to where they sent the spies into the land, so this is halfway through that journey, right?
Well, I'm not sure it took 2 years. I looked that up, and I'm not sure, but I think it did.
Okay.
Yeah, it took them another year to get from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea.
Yeah, they haven't got to send the spies in yet at this time.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Now, they're still at Sinai. And they've been waiting for the tabernacle to rear up.
Ms. Moses, very unhappy.
So anyway, you all know the rest of that, 9:15-23. All right, let's go back to 1 Corinthians. I mean, yeah, 1 Corinthians. it's critical to understand this thing about the Passover, because without the Passover, then you're still in the world. Just think how much preaching in the name of Christ and in the name of God is done. How much teaching, how many books about that God wants to improve you and fix you and you get stuff. It's what comes from cutting themselves off from the Old Testament.
The other thing is that no other feast says, this is on account of what the Lord did for me.
Right.
He brought me forth from the land of Egypt, house of bondage.
Right.
You know, because no other feast has that
phraseology.
Very important thing of how did this happen to me personally.
Right. It's just sad. You're out of the world. That's the celebration. That's the fruit of the celebration of Passover. You've left the world. You've left the world system. You may be trudging around the wilderness for a while until you're shed of all of your stands and your opinions, Tom. But what?
We never embarrass anybody publicly, do we?
Oh, that was an embarrassment.
Okay.
That was just a little dig.
Just a little.
That was just a factual observation.
Right.
So how long is it going to take to get rid of the grave clothes of religion, the grave clothes of Egypt, and the grave clothes of Babylon, and the grave clothes of Edom, for that matter, the flesh?
Long time to dig that.
Are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
What are you doing?
I'm harassing him because he harassed me.
We're done.
Are you done?
Absolutely.
All right, 1 Corinthians 10. We're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food. Now, let's go to Exodus 16. Pages of my Bible didn't stick together. There at the name of this place, the name of the portion of the wilderness they're in, it's called the wilderness. It doesn't mean the same as the word, but it's called the wilderness of sin. And here again, they all were murmuring and complaining and saying, why didn't you leave us in Egypt? And we had good food there, blah, blah, blah. So, in verse 11, all of them are complaining. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel.
11? 16. Oh, 16.
Chapter 16. We are reading verse 11. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at evening you shall eat food, or flesh. It's really food. And in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at evening the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoarfrost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. Manna is a Hebrew word that means, what is it? I used to, before I repented, I used to put an expletive in there too, but now I'm nice, so it's just, what is it? That's the name of the food. What is it? Now, we're going to talk about that. We're not going to read the rest of that, but the point of it is that they were fed quail and manna. Now, it's said of the manna that the manna fulfilled every desire of your heart if there was no idolatry within you. If there was idolatry, then the manna was bitter and hard to consume. Now, this was a parable for eating the flesh of the Son of God. That which gives you sustenance and satisfaction is what you eat. Now, if you could truly understand what it means to eat of that flesh and drink of that blood, then it would fulfill every desire of your heart. But with idolatry, this is even not even knowing what it is. It's hard to even think about it. And that's why, you know, how can I eat the flesh of the Son of Man, the Son of God? What is it? But that's the whole mystery of it. It's, what is it? How do you do this? The only way to do it, as the only way to do anything else, is repent. From all the other things in the universe that give you sustenance and satisfaction, but then you're hungry again soon. If you're in the place of getting sustenance and satisfaction from the activities of others, that means you're in a state of famine. Anybody get a hint of what I mean there, Jeff? Overgrown guys on steroids pat each other in the ass all the time.
He's jealous.
What are you doing now, Joe, Tom? You're so proud of yourself, I didn't even hear what you said.
That's good. You're just going to go.
What did you say?
It's all right.
What did you say, Tom?
I said you're jealous.
About what?
I don't know. Couldn't remember. Not too long ago.
What do you think I'm jealous about?
Me patting Dallas Cowboys on the hind.
All right. Go back to. Everybody understand the meaning of manna? What is it? But it's what you must consume.
I have a question. Is that what you meant by the activities of others, like watching sports and whatnot?
Or getting sustenance and satisfaction from your children's accomplishments, or getting sad because they didn't,
yeah.
That means you're eating their flesh.
Yeah.
Got it?
Yeah.
All right. 1 Corinthians. I lost my place. How could I do that? 1 Corinthians 10. They did all eat the same spiritual food, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. Now let's look at that. Exodus 17. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt or test the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses, and said, "Wherefore is that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us, and our children and our cattle, with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, which thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. And behold, I will stand before thee, and there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, so that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because the chiding of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us? Now, Massah is contention, and Meribah is chiding. Now, again, it's just the human nature. They did it, I can't remember, there were the major incidents like this at least 10 to 12 times, I can't remember, where they, everybody is ready to stone Moses and Aaron. Because they didn't, they were thirsty, or they were hungry. Or they saw something they were afraid of. Can you see what faith really is? It has nothing to do. Every time there is a need, it's the opportunity for you to wait on God. Instead of constantly leaning on your own arm of understanding to fix that need or that situation.
I see something else here. It was more like that at least there could have been, the need could have presented a weakness, and it was, instead it was all the way over to, you know, now you brought us, your fault, you brought us out here to die.
Oh, I know. That's the same thing. There was self-justification again,
yeah.
Instead of weakness. And that rock that followed them was Christ. Now the rock of Horeb followed them all the way to when they encamped at Kadesh Barnea for 39 or 38 years. Now that's a rock following them? Anyway, back to 1 Corinthians. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, or that went with them, and that rock was Jesus Christ, was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now go to Numbers, back to Numbers chapter 14. This will be the last thing we look at for now.
Numbers what?
14. All right, here's where we are now. The 12 spies had just been sent into the promised land. 10 of the spies just went nuts and said, we're dead. We can't fight against this. 2 in type, the groom and the friend of the bridegroom, Joshua and Caleb, were the only two that said, don't worry about it, it's meat for us. Now the same is true about you going into the promised land and going through the 7 mountains of your mind on which the whore of Babylon sits. For you to think it's possible to live and go to war with this and casting down the imaginations and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. You have the same and have had the same response to that as Israel had. It's impossible. I can't live without thinking. I can't live without taking thought. And so what happened? They encamped at Kadesh Barnea. Well, anyway, let's go on. Not yet, we're not. So anyway, the congregation has gone nuts again. They're yelling at Moses and Aaron, they want to stone them. Moses intercedes. Now this is a great one. This is God. This is Moses. Let's just read it. Start in verse 13. Well, God is first saying in verse 11, God says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed them? I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they." This guy had guts.
Moses getting pissed.
Moses, no, he didn't get mad, but what he says, listen. And Moses, God is pissed. And Moses said unto the Lord, "Then the Egyptians shall hear of it. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, and thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as the one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. Now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the generation unto the third and fourth. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now." Can you imagine saying that to God?
Man. He had guts.
All right. "And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." Anyway, it goes. We're gonna look at that more tomorrow. But anybody have any response to any of this? Does any of this cause you maybe to think about repenting? I mean, if there's something you want to do, you got to go do it. If you don't see the end of all of the crap out in the world, then you got to go do it. But if you have seen it, then be as this is what this happened for us, so that we can see by abandoning ourselves, his faith is manifest. And if you don't think you can, then always ask for forgiveness and take the lowest seat. Then he will move. Amen? All right. Take it, big guy. Unless you have, anybody have any response? Anything, any questions? Take it, big person.